Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
For the Quaddy app, download it today to never miss the Quaddy numbers from our SEN track experts. This is The Odds Couple with Gareth Hall, David Taggart and Josh Jenkins.
Good morning. Great to be with you on this Saturday, the 4th of May. This is The Odds Couple. You're listening to us on 11.16 and SEN track. And what a day of racing it is today right across the country. The Winter Carnival kicks off in Brisbane at Eagle Farm with the Guineas and also the Victory Stakes. It's a Group 1 meeting once again in Adelaide. It's day 2 of their carnival, highlighted by the Sportsbet South Australian Derby Group 1 level for the 3-year-olds. A handy enough meeting at Caulfield in Victoria. And Hawkesbury, they haven't had the rain predicted, so we're on a good track at the moment, which is great for the club because they take centre stage in New South Wales this afternoon. But there is a little bit of rain predicted a little later on, so we'll keep a close eye on that. But there's plenty of winners to be found on this Saturday, so let's welcome in the team. And the captain is live from Adelaide once again. He's at Morpheville for Derby Day. G'day, Takes.
Good morning, Gareth. Good morning, listeners. And what a fantastic morning it is here in Adelaide. It's meant to be a beautiful 22 degrees, and I can't wait. Cam Luke's already on the way to the airport. Geez, yep. He works hard. He has that crap radio TV show on, you know, Channel 7 and after the AFL. And,
I think it's very good. I like the show.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yep. Never seen it, but I shouldn't have make an opinion or have an opinion on it.
Yeah.
He's already on the way, and I think Miles, he had a charity golf event the other day, and he's on his way down from Narra Court. So we're all going to be live from midday, 11.30 Adelaide time.
Well, we're looking forward to it.
Can't wait for it.
Did you enjoy
Adelaide Derby, mate? $1 million Adelaide Derby.
Yeah, did you enjoy it last week?
Loved it. And the Sportsbet Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
As well. So that's the map. He just got beat in the Adelaide Cup last start. He hasn't raced for it since then, so hopefully he can go one better.
Yeah, she's a good horse, the map. Now, I was watching Channel 7. I was watching Cam Luke last night after the footy. Yeah. Then after that, the Get On program was on, and this man was looking splendid. I don't know if he had a brown or leather jacket on, but he's got a little bit
of
salt.
Have we got Felix on again?
No, not Felix.
No?
No, it's Nicholas Ashman. We've upgraded from Felix. Nicholas, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gareth. Good morning, Tags.
Hello, Nico.
Yes, you're quite right. Yes, I'm very well, thank you. A brown leather jacket was the correct answer there, Gareth. So, they may be taking off for another cross later in the day, so that tells me it didn't quite get the mustard.
It was mustard, by the way. That was the colour I was looking for. Now,
just before we get going, Gareth, you got a little text from the boss this morning in a group text, like I did, about the Sportsbet followers and the winning bets. And of course, Nick, as long as I'm around, you're only going to be second best. I'm in front of you. Number one, Nick Ashman, number two.
Oh, that means we've got the one and two. So this is a privilege to have you two on the show this morning.
Best tipsters in Australia, evidently.
How do we follow you, Takes?
It's pretty simple. You go to your Sportsbet app and you see down the bottom right the three horizontal lines. You click on that and you'll see feed, and that'll come up, and you have to have a little username. It's just your name. It just takes you 2 seconds to put your name in, and then you can follow all your favourite tipsters there.
All right, then. So
that are on there.
Taggart leads from Ashman and Marshall.
David.
Yes.
David.
So David.
But not
Taggart
with followers, though. SD Marshall's got a lot more followers than me.
So we'll see if your loyal listeners here on The Odds Couple can follow you this morning. And we'll have a bit of a tip-off between yourself and Ashman. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, it took him a while to get to the 2,000, but he finally got there, though.
Yeah, so Nick, you can beat him today. You're confident? You like these cards around the country?
Yes. Yeah, I'm pretty confident.
That's all we need.
I'm confident today too.
Now, Tags, I want to ask you about...
You know how I love my Canadians?
Yes.
I've got that many tips. I've got to try and pick out the best for my Canadian. I might have to take two of them.
Yeah, the day you get a Canadian is the day I give up.
Yeah.
Isn't that just a wonderful problem to have on a Saturday morning when you've got so many tips, you're like, how do I squeeze this down to five legs?
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah,
there's so much hope in the air.
There's eight. I think there's eight. So I've got to try and I might take some Yankees and that. But the South Australian Derby, did you know that's older than the Melbourne Cup, Gareth?
Yes, I did actually, because you told me last night. But it's like South Australia's got such a proud racing history, Tags. And we've seen that over the years, of course, and the South Australian Derby is a time-honoured race. It was a big race back a few decades ago, and we saw some horses that competed in derbies that were competitive in Melbourne Cups. And
Sub-Zero.
Sub-Zero is one of those, Nicholas, yes. He was a great old horse, wasn't he, Sub-Zero? I still remember going to school.
I think Count Shivers as well.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think when I was at school in Mildura, we watched, I think it was 93, wasn't it, that Sub-Zero in the wet with Greg Hall aboard took out the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah.
Did you ride
92,
in it?
I reckon.
92.
He beat Yandacross in Castletown, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it was 92 because I remember G Hall tracked me up all the way.
I see you in that Melbourne Cup. You're that old.
Yeah,
takes.
I was riding one. I don't know if you know the trainer's name, Bart Cummings. I rode one for him. Yes.
How many?
Yes, I'd just ridden a Group One winner for him, and I was 18 years old and had my first ride in the Melbourne Cup.
Now we'll see if we can find a few winners, but I want to touch on this story that broke late last week and.
Yeah.
RaceNet reports. I'll just read what happened, Tags, then I'll get your comments.
Well, it's been bubbling for a while.
It has.
And every time, if you heard me and Michael Pye riding and. I said, why is he going to WA? What's he running away from? Well, it's all come to the surface now, hasn't it?
So Matty Williams from RaceNet, he writes the article saying two jockeys have been charged by Racing Victoria's stewards for serious betting and corruption offences. RV on Friday revealed stewards had issued charges under the Australian rules of racing against former Victorian licensed jockeys Michael Pye and Lewis German, registered owner professional punter Noah Brash and registered owner Alicia Vass. It is alleged Pye 24 and German 25 corrupted the outcome of races over a four-month period between April and August 2022. Now, this is bad reading here. Among the allegations during the period in question is that Pye and German rode such horses in a manner to ensure that the bets would be successful. That's for Brash. It's also alleged Pye approached and corruptly offered money to a rider, in brackets, who is not the subject of any charges, to ride a horse other than in accordance with the merits of the horse. The charges relate to a steward's investigation into the conduct and wagering concerns on thoroughbred races within Victoria involving Mr. Pye, Mr. German and Mr. Brash, RV said in a statement. Since August 2022, RV stewards, with the assistance of RV's betting intelligence unit, have conducted a comprehensive investigation, which has included interviewing numerous individuals and analysing a wide range of materials. It's fair to say if these charges, they're all alleged at the moment, but if they're proven guilty, they're in a little bit of trouble, David. Big trouble.
19 charges against Pye, not as many against German. Basically, it's saying that there's races that they weren't trying in as well.
Yeah, and then it sounds like they were getting to other jockeys.
The outcome. Yeah, they're trying to. So it's not good. I think Pye's in a lot more trouble than German. We're only speculating here, but you may never see his name in a form guide again.
Yeah, everyone's like we don't know if he's going to plead guilty or not guilty.
It's not great.
But it doesn't read well, Nicholas, and if he is proven guilty of these charges, he won't be race riding ever again.
Stupid.
No,
stupid.
Nor should he, though. Gareth. I mean, there's a difference between, and I know there's a fine line and people will come to conspiracy theories, but a jockey that backs him or herself to win a race, this is a different scenario where you've got a jockey allegedly telling other jockeys essentially to pull their horse up so they can benefit a punter. So we can't have that in the industry at all. There's got to be a zero tolerance to that.
I know you said it's a fine line with a jockey backing him or her own horse. Back in the old days, I know it wasn't going on, but just having a drink with a trainer, and a trainer will go, mate, I can't believe jockeys aren't allowed to bet. I would love to leg up a jockey knowing that they've got their own money on. That's the element of danger there. That's the thing, because they can ride too close to that interference or that line. They don't want to cross that line, but especially if they get their own on. But that was allowed in New Zealand. You're allowed to back your own horse, but you weren't allowed to take exotics or anything like that. It was only a straight out win. And of course you're trying on it. It's a big difference and making your horse run about fifth or sixth when you're on the favourite, isn't it?
It's interesting. It's interesting that the police haven't been involved. I think they'll get involved.
I think it'll happen.
Yeah, because I've seen other jurors.
They'll take it one step at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah, correct. Correct.
Yeah, go, Nick.
I was just going to say, Tax, the only thing, I agree with you 100%, but if I'm riding, well, I'm 6'4", so I can't ride horses, but if I'm riding with you and you're out there and I've got one today, what's stopping me from giving you 500 to have on your horse?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, that's
and
the
I'm
thing.
Riding
and
in
that's
the same
where you're not allowed
you.
To. Yeah, exactly yeah. right. You're not allowed to. Exactly mm. right.
In its purest form, I agree with you. Jockeys being able to back themselves is a great idea. I've got no issue with it. The problem is there's nothing stopping one jockey from giving another jockey some cash to put the bet on for him.
And the great Damien Oliver, who is the greatest of all time, but if he did what he did a few years back, Tags,
he should have got 10 years.
He would have got
10 months.
He nearly would have got life, I would imagine, in today's world.
There was a loophole, and I can't believe there was a loophole at the time.
But
and, it's cut and dry these days, and it's not looking good for them.
Nicholas Ashton.
We don't want this in racing.
No, we don't. We don't.
It's hard
not
enough
any...
for the punters. It's
Correct.
Hard enough for the punters as it is.
Yeah,
with and, tracks and that. We don't need this.
And do you know what? The authorities have to go hard on them, and it's sort of like you've got to put a line in the sand, and if they're proven guilty of these charges, and they're all alleged at the moment, but if they're proven guilty, then they have to get life. It's as simple as that. Nicholas, what did you make of the carnivals, the Country Cup carnivals? We'll start with Warrnambool.
Yeah, great. Look, obviously, I wasn't. You know, the watering of the track was a bit of a downer on it, and it upset a few people. But outside of that, I thought it was another fantastic carnival. Great mix of jumps racing and flat racing again. And it reiterates the importance of bringing different form lines and depth of races together. The Melbourne Cup's been the best race in the country forever because you've got so many different lead-up races to analyse going into the Melbourne Cup. And we see that quite often at Warrnambool. You pick up the form guide and it takes a while to do the form, but it's actually interesting. You're not just sort of going, oh, whose turn is it this week from these pluggers, you know? And I think that the importance of getting a depth in the field, various form lines, bringing them all together rather than having the same horses batting around against each other is so important, and that's what makes that carnival so special.
And of course, it was taken out by Harry Coffey. Of course, he took the Adelaide Cup out as well. So and he's ridden Group 1 winners this season too. So this is the best year that he's had. And there couldn't be a better jockey to have the season that Harry has had.
And know what? These carnivals, this carnival had it all, Tags, from the controversy with the track to the clerk of the courses to Lindsay Smith doing a remarkable job with a horse like Tuvalu first up in a Wangoon. Yeah.
Hasn't won under 1300 and he wins a Wangoon.
Oh, Shane Jackson winning the cup.
How good.
And then Tyler Schiller dominated.
The Wagga Cup.
Yeah, he's from young Tyler Schiller, but he's a Riverina boy and he had a big day or a big couple of days at Wagga.
Yes, of course, he had the town plate on the Thursday and then the cup on the Friday. So it does overlap that little bit with Warrnambool Wagga.
Yeah.
It can take the spotlight away from one or the other. But it was great racing yesterday as well.
All right, then we might do both. Sorry, Nicholas.
I was just going to say he's a good asset to racing, Tyler, because he sort of doesn't get caught up in the off track antics. If you follow my lead there, he's very on the straight and narrow, and I think in time he'll be quite a good ambassador for racing.
He loves his greyhound. He's got a share in a harness horse as well, so he lives and breathes
won the
racing.
Donny this year, won the time on a Doncaster.
And you're right, Nicholas, he's a good kid. 0499 736 736 to join our conversation on the Odds Couple today. You might have a winner for us right across the country. We'll take a quick break on the other side of it. We'll take a look at the Sportsbet South Australian Derby and also preview the opening day of the Winter Carnival in Brisbane at Eagle Farm with Chris Nelson to join us.
For the Quaddy app, download it today to never miss the Quaddy numbers from our SEN track experts. This is The Odds Couple with Gareth Hall, David Taggart and Josh Jenkins.
Great to be with you this Saturday morning. Terrific racing right across the country. 0499 736 736 to join our conversation. I'll get to those text messages in just a moment. Hey, Taze, you were sensational with the Punters Club update there. A lot of passion and enthusiasm.
Yes, the 100,000 putt for dough. I'm not sure if I'm going to have a crack this week or next week. Of course, it's on today and, of course, next week. And Sportsbet have kindly donated $100,000.
Yep.
And if you can be win a share of that. It went off last week.
It did.
So the gentleman who got the 100,000, who got the part, the 70-foot part, he'd be sweating for the next 2 weeks now.
Yep.
That no one else gets it because he'll get the 100,000 all to himself.
Now, Nicholas, what about the South Australian Derby? It's a good race. The fillies, however, have been the best back throughout the week. What's happening this morning?
Coco Sun.
What's look, she. I mean, she. It's that 7 day backup. Now, there's a couple of good talking points here for you. And first of all, it was a high rating Oaks, so she comes out of a good quality race. So that's the number one tick she gets. The second thing is she's on a 7 day backup. Now, there's a point to be made here that the Chairman's, which is the traditional lead up, was a very slowly run affair. Now, yes, Warmonger was strong through the line, but how much grounding have these horses had for what could be a real stern test over the 2,500 metres today? So the concern becomes, have they got the right foundations to handle a fast run 2,500 metres if your only run at 2,000 was in a very slowly run race? So the market then gravitates towards the horses that are most likely going to see out a strongly run 2,500 metres. So you get the horse on the 7 day backup coming out of a high rating 2,000 metre race. That's a good sign. You've got a Hoorie for Chris Waller, who's coming back in trip from a 2,800-metre win. You'd think that 2,500 would be no problem for her. Mm. You've got Antrim Coast, who's 9 into 750. Well, he was second to Orchestral three runs ago in the New Zealand Derby. He's had a crack at 2,500 metres already this preparation as well. So that's where your money's going. It's going towards the horses that people feel as though won't have an issue with the 2,500 metres today, and that tells me that they think this will be run at a solid test, and that probably makes anything that hasn't had a run at the trip or hasn't come out of a fast run 2,000 metres a little susceptible.
That's interesting, Tate, what Nick is saying, because we had Michael Kent Jr. on the show yesterday and on Giddy Up, and he said, well, his horse Warmonger had no opportunity to get into the contest because it was a slowly run race in the Chairman's, and he was out the back. And he was getting dictated to.
And went wide, yeah.
And he said, and I said to him, is that an advantage going to a race like the Derby? And he says, well, Gareth, I'd nearly prefer, my horse is fit enough. I'd prefer my horse in a way to have a run like he did in the Chairman's instead of being in an Oaks where they did go at a, it was a truly run race. And of course, he had the winner in the Oaks in Vibrant Sun. So it's interesting to see what the punters are doing and how a trainer's thinking.
I can't see Warmonger winning.
No.
He's drawn a bad gate again. He just done it too tough the other day. He was back last. I know it wasn't run to suit, but Frosty Lane, he had no other option but to go around him, and he was hitting the outside fence, basically. I think he just done it too hard. Is it the top weight, Antrim Coast? Could he be the one, the Kiwi?
He's good.
Ran second in the New Zealand. Yeah, I thought he was a good thing at Caulfield, and he got beat by Gold Wolf. I can't see Gold Wolf beating him home today.
Nick?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I feel like it's the bomb-proof horse, Antrim Coast. It's been up to 2,400 metres and had a run. It's done nothing wrong
since
being in Australia. Draws good, probably settles, what, somewhere between 2 and 4 lengths off the pace, which looks an ideal spot in a derby. It won't matter if the race is run fast. If it's run slow, he probably pops out at the 800-metre mark and starts grinding them down. So, I agree with your tags. I think he's the horse that you can back for the each-way players out there, or the 1x2, 1x3. He's probably your best play in the race.
What's your best in Adelaide today, tags?
Oh, mate, it's tough, mate. I stay in my lane. I've got a few tips there, but I couldn't land on one, mate.
Okay. Have you got any? Do you like anything in Adelaide today, Nicholas?
You'll have to listen in from midday. Mm.
I thought in the derby itself, I've had something on sunsets each way. He beat Riff Rocket and Norman Robinson last year. He had genuine excuses last start wide without any cover. His runs before that were pretty good. He's been up to 2,400 metres already this preparation. He ran third in the Vic Derby last year. And if you isolate his form, he's had he's fifth up, I think, today. He's had 5 runs in his career where he's been fifth up or deeper in the prep. He's placed in 3 of them and won on one occasion where he beat Riff Rocket. So he's a horse that takes racing to hit his absolute top. And I think today you'll see him boldly up on top of the speed. And I think he'll give you a great sight at a big, big price, $27 and $6.50 with Sportsbet right now.
All right, then I like Coco Sun and Ahuri. Yeah. I think the two fillies will dominate this year's South Australian Derby, but it is a great race. That's race 8, and it's the feature.
In the Derby.
I don't mind them.
Think,
yeah.
Yeah. Do you think Frosty's pulled the wrong rein, sticking with Warmonger instead of riding the St. Ledger winner?
We'll find out.
O'Heary?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I think he wanted. He wanted to get off tags, to tell you the truth.
I wonder. Yeah. Oh, okay. I just wonder if maybe it could be a look to the future as well. Like maybe Warmonger, does he go up to Brisbane after this? Possibly. Would have had two runs in a row, whereas Warmonger could possibly have this run and then go up for a Queensland derby. So maybe he's just having a couple of bites at the cherry. But maybe you're right as well.
Yeah, right. But the jockeys, they want the best rides. He can always get back on Warmonger.
Yeah. All right, then. So that's a look at South Australia. Tags, Cam Luke, and also Miles Fitzner will be there for SEN Track right throughout the later part of the morning at 11:30. I think you start South Australian time. Tags, 12 o'clock Eastern time.
Correct.
So, can't wait for that meeting today. Harness racing tonight at Melton. Thanks to HRV, my best is Terry, race one, number one, and you can save on Dangerous, the four. I think one of those, so if you had $50 or $100, you'd have 70 on Terry and 30 on Dangerous. And it's a good meeting tonight at Menangle Group 1 Racing. They've got the Queen Elizabeth, which was the old Ladyship Mile. And ladies in red, she should be too good. She's at $1.60. She's one of the best pacers in the land. She's definitely the best mare. And it can be a big night for Emma Stewart and Clayton Tonkin, because I think they'll be winning the Oaks as well. They've got a talented filly there engaged in Lady in Pink. It looks a lovely race for her in that New South Wales Oaks. Also, very pretty, I should say. That's the horse I'm thinking of. Very pretty. She's at $1.10, but she should be winning. And you can have the Quinella with her, with Jillaby Illuminate, who goes around there for the Craven and Lee camp in the New South Wales Oaks tonight. 8:29, we'll take the news. We'll come back with Chris Nelson.
This is The Odds Couple with Gareth Hall, David Taggart and Josh Jenkins.
Nick Ashman filling in for Josh Jenkins. Good luck to Josh. He's taking on my Mighty Birch at Watcham Bulls when he plays for Sea Lake. I hope they give it to him today, the Mighty Bulls. But there's some terrific racing up in Queensland. It's the start of the Winter Carnival. Jeez, she's gone quickly. We're at Eagle Farm today, the Victory Stakes, which is a lead-up race in a way to the Doomben 10,000 and also the Queensland Guineas.
Stradbrokes. Yeah.
Are the two features there. Takes. Let's head up to our great mate, the one and the only Chris Nelson, all thanks to Racing Queensland. Racing action continues every day across the Sunshine State. Hello to you, Chriso. He was there, Chriso. Good morning.
Oh, he's left us.
He has left us. Let's hope that. It would be interesting to see how this Eagle Farm track plays today. There's been a few problems with the track with all of the rain in Queensland. We might try our luck again. Hello to you, Chriso.
Gareth, you got me?
Oh, thank God for that.
There he is.
How's things, mate? We're just talking about how this track might play today up there at Eagle Farm. They've had a few problems with it of late.
Yeah, there is a bit of a disease in the track, unfortunately. Good morning to Tags and Nick as well. Yeah, a little bit of a disease in the track, which has come about due to a ton of rain. This started before Christmas, and it really just hasn't stopped. I mean, we've had days of nice weather, but in general, there's been a lot of rain. I know where I am, we've had nearly 1,300 mils of rain since the start of the year. So that'll give you some idea of how much we've had. And it's been humid as well, obviously, in the earlier part of the year. So it hasn't given the track a chance to dry out at all, which has caused this disease in the grass. But look, we're on a good four today. I can tell you, last Saturday, when we all expected again to get off the fence down the straight, most of the winners came through along the inside. And the last race winner, Waikato Girl for Vlad Durek, certainly did, and there were others. So I think we've just got to play it as being a fair track. That's, you haven't got a crystal ball.
Now, we had Tony Golan on Giddy Up during the week. He says Typhoon Tavi is his best chance of the day. He's also keen on a horse that he saddles four up in race seven. He was keen on Warby. Uncommon James, Matty Hoystead, says he's ready to win first up. And I got a good push in the Guineas from Johnny O'Shea with Cafe Millennium, Chris O'Nelson. So a couple of good pushes there, but we'll start with the Victory Stakes. I'll go to you, Nick, and then to Chris O. What price do we get for Uncommon James?
Well, he's been heavily backed, hasn't he, in early betting. Gareth, he's now, just bring it up for you now, he's now $2.45. We did go up $2.80 into $2.50 and now $2.45. So no deductions at this point with no scratchings. Antino's been well supported. We went up $11. He was already into $7 pretty quickly on Wednesday afternoon. Now he's $6. You've got to remember, he's only been beaten once first up from a spell, and there was that horror watch down at Flemington first up.
Oh, yes.
And then you got Front Page, who looks the likely leader in the race. There is sufficient pace in this race. He's been a touch easy, $5.50 out to $6.
All right then, Chris, so who wins the Victory Stakes?
Well, I think the market's got it right. I think it's between one Uncommon James and three Antino. And I just think Uncommon James, who will be in front of Antino in the run, is going to prove tough to run down. He might be looking for the line late, Uncommon James, and Antino will be certainly having a crack at him, but he just might have that margin to be able to hold off Antino. So I think Uncommon James can get away with it, but I think Antino will be the eye-catcher as he heads towards the Stradbroke.
And what about the Guineas there, Nick, in that last race, the other feature there?
Yeah, it's a good race, this one, isn't it? And will be possibly a lead-up to other things. Ducasta's Sydney Galloper for Michael Friedman, who's enjoying a very good run at present, $7.50 into $4.80. Transatlantic for Tony Gollan, you spoke about his stables chances earlier in the day. Jimmy Orman in the saddle, $10 into $6, good push for it as well. Kintyre up from Sydney, $9.50 into $8. The local Galloper Press Link has suffered its first defeat last time out for Robbie Heathcote, $7.50 out to $8. And looking down the page, some specking for Mr. Kipchoge, if I got that right, yep, for Chris Waller, $18 into $12. And also some specking for Chicken Mojito, another one for Waller, $35 into $23 if you're playing the first fours.
Chris Hack?
This is super tough, and it's made tougher by the fact that we don't have any pace on paper. Captain Finkel and Transatlantic are the only two going forward, and there's a lot of horses in this race, and particularly some of these visitors from interstate, and you speak of Mr. Kipchoge and others, Easy Done, that will get back in the run, and will they have sufficient speed up front to be able to get home over the top of the leaders? That is the big query. It's a super tough race. So I ended up going with 11 Press Link because I thought Michael Rodd might push on and find himself a lot closer than some of these other horses that are probably better than him, but he might find himself, hopefully, if he shows some intent early, in a better spot. So, yeah, it's a tricky one to wind up the day.
All right, go through your best then at Eagle Farm, Chris Ho.
Well, I do think Typhoon Tavia win. I was hoping for a better price race, three, number three, but I think she'll just go straight to the front. She's got a ton of natural speed, and they'll have their work cut out running her down. Race six, number three, Embassy. I love the trials in Sydney from Embassy. He's only had the two starts, and they've been in strong two-year-old races. The second of those was the Silver Slipper. Things didn't quite pan out there, but he wasn't that far off straight charge. That's a good form line. There's a couple of horses in this race to keep your eye on. Obviously, Pareto, who was impressive winning on debut at the Sunny Coast. And one from down your way, guys, Espino. I love that run in the Blue Diamond Prelude, just weaving home late between runners. There's been no money for it. Maybe it's one to keep an eye on going forward. But I think it'll run well. And race seven, number 10, will be the one Tony Dolan mentioned, as well as Typhoon Tavi. I love the trial. Just trotted up to the winner. And there was a lot in the tank there. Didn't put in a bad run all prep last time. We'll be bursting through late. So I think those three will all run really well, guys.
All right, then enjoy the opening day of the Winter Carnival. Thanks for that, Chriso.
Thanks, Chris.
Will do. Have a good one.
There's Chris Nelson. Check out racingqueensland.com.au for where Queensland is racing today. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have a look at the quaddie legs at Hawkesbury this afternoon.
This is The Odds Couple with Gareth Hall, David Taggart and Josh Jenkins.
You're with Gareth Hall, Nick Ashman today, filling in for Josh Jenkins and the superstar, the captain, David Taggart, for The Odds Couple. Let's have a look at Hawkesbury. We're on a good form, would you believe? They predicted 100 mils of rain at the start of the week there and around the Hawkesbury region, just outside of Sydney, Nick Ashburn. There's still a host of scratchings. There's rain predicted today, and I think a few trainers have taken a punt that the rain will come. So they've scratched a few of the wet trackers or the horses that don't handle the wet. It'll be interesting to see what this track does.
Hopefully it stands up, yeah.
Yeah, look, I mean, it looks like there's about 10 mil of rain now forecast for the Hawkesbury region today, sort of in and around that area. So, look, if the 10 mil comes, we'll be pushed, obviously, definitely into the soft and possibly teetering on the heavy. And it makes it really tricky to have a bet right now, doesn't it? Because horses, say, for instance, like Butch Cassidy in the Hawkesbury Guineas, genuine chance on a dry track. Probably got none on a heavy track. So I think you just got to bet on the run, if you like, this afternoon at Hawkesbury.
If the rain doesn't come before the first leg of the quaddie, the Hawkesbury Guineas, Nicholas Ashburn, what price will Swartz start?
Well, look, I think the benefit he's got is if the rain comes, it chops the inside part of the track out. And because he's drawn barrier two, it then makes it a bit difficult for J-Mac. He's got to get away from the inside. But if it doesn't come, then it probably holds up okay. So I think 280 or 260 at the moment is about as low as he'll get I tend to think that, you know, they might gravitate towards a Conesana, who was very good last time out, and even Butch Cassidy, if it stays dry, I think he's right in the mix. You've got to remember, he's third up Butch Cassidy today. Third up last preparation was in the spring. He was beaten half a length by Militarise in the Group 1 Golden Rose. Now, I know Schwartz is a very promising galloper, but Schwartz hasn't hit that level yet, whereas Butch Cassidy's been to that level and proven himself that he can hold his own, and I think that counts for something.
He did bolt in at Flemington third up last preparation. Yeah. Schwartz did, beating Mo Down. So Mo Down goes all right, but again, different class to Butch
Cassidy. What are your numbers here, Butch Cassidy?
I'm with Schwartz. I just think he gets a lovely run. He draws pole now with the inside coming out, Barry 1. So it'll want to stay dry. It'll want to stay dry there.
Is it 1-1 one out?
I've gone in 1-1 out, yes.
Okay, so Schwartz there. Let's have a look
at
the
quaddy there, are we?
Yeah, okay. We'll do the quaddy league. So 1-1 out. Race 8, you've got the Hawkesbury Gold Cup. Couple of key scratchings here. Nugget's been saved for the Scone Cup. Here the shot comes out, of course, from Munimac. Detonator Jack here, Nicholas, is the favourite.
Yeah, 17 cents worth of deduction. So when I read these flux out, just keep that in mind. 416 to 330, he's been very well backed out in that, Jack, and he won't mind if the rain does come. He's an accomplished wet tracker. His stablemate, Berkshire Shadows, 10 into $8. And when you consider the deductions, there's not much action there. But, geez, go and have a look at the replay of the Doncaster Mine. Tell me that he shouldn't have got a lot closer there. He's third up here, hasn't missed a place in three runs third up. Looks a good each-way play for mine. Just Spoke will relish the wet conditions if those heavens open up. He's an absolute swimmer, 3 from 6 on heavy ground. Nash in the saddle, good strong rider. Tags will tell you how important that is in the rain-affected going. Velval for Chris Waller and J-Mac, fourth up here from a spell, pretty solid around the 950 mark. And then you're looking at a tractable for Sarah Ryan at $13, guys.
A big class drop for Detonator Jack. Many said he could have won. He could have won the Doncaster before the race, and as you said, Nick, he should have went much closer. He only finished 2 lengths off Celestial Legend. Just Folk, he's a little buddy of mine. I love Just Folk. He just doesn't win out of turn though. He's huge last start in the Bendigo Mile. He's with a new stable now, of course. He does need the jar out of the track to be at his best, but I have thrown him in. 1-6-10-11. 1-6-10-11.
All right, then. What's happening in the second last here? Charlton Lane, of course, scratch. He's the big scratching, but he goes to Melbourne
today.
He's
in the last.
Yeah,
Kibo's your favourite here for the Waterhouse and Bott stable. I'll be interested to see what happens with the market. He's been 440 into 370. You referenced the deductions through Chalton Lane. There's actually 19 cents in total with the Mer and Zoe's Promise also coming out. So 440 to 370 is not necessarily a big firm when you factor in those deductions. 4 for Cindy has been the best backed runner for Johnny O'Shea. Jet Stanley in the saddle will carry 50.5 kilos, I think. $8 into $4.20. Real good push for this galloper who's second up. Highlights for Bjorn Baker. Rachel King in the saddle is your next favourite at $7.50, in from $15. Good speaking for Brigantine, who usually starts to come good around this time of year. $31 into $11 for the Godolphin galloper. And if the heavens open up, there's a horse you definitely need to consider, and that is number 14, Miracle Spin, who is an accomplished mudlark who gets settled off pace, having a little freshen up since that run down at Albury over 2,000 metres, $16 into $11. Look for him to be grinding home nicely down the outside.
Yeah, it's a tough little race. So it wouldn't surprise me if either of the Colette runners win first up, Super Strike or Super Pursuit. 1, 2, 4, 6, 9 and 13. 1, 2, 4, 6, 9 and 13.
All right, last race there, Nicholas.
Yeah, that's right. The lucky last, we hope it is anyway, Gareth. This is the benchmark 78 over 1,100 metres. Chris Lees has a sort of a horse with a bit of an upside, a filly by Vancouver. She goes by the name of Chili Filly. She's only had the four starts. Yeah, she's only had the four starts for 2 wins and 2 placings. She's been 360 into $3.10, 18 cents worth of deductions here. Contemporary, second favourite, resumes here for Godolphin. Nash in the saddle, 850 into $6. Smashing Eagle will strip fitter after that first up, fifth, 10 into $8. Look for the money to come for it potentially late. Queen of the Mile, not Queen of the Nile for the pokey players, 9.50. And shares that line with Valiancy. And just having a look to see if there's been any specking for a roughie, and there has been. Number 6, Fire Lane in the last. We put up $13. Zach Reddick in the saddle has got a good return on investment out at Hawkesbury this season. $31 into $15 if you're looking for a roughie in the last.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit of pace on, and of course the hot horse is Chilly Filly. Number one, Cody won't know himself in this grade and looks over the odds. So I'm not real keen on this, but I went 1-2-3, 7-9-11. 1-2-3, 7-9-11. So $144.
So your numbers 1-1 out, Sports in the Guineas, 1-6-10-11 in the second league tags.
Yep.
And then 1-2-4-6-9-13 in the third leg, and then you come home with 1-2-3, 7-9-11. Any specials outside of the quaddy leagues?
Parasol.
Yes.
Race 5, number
James
4,
Cummings
Carousel.
Said she's ready to fire first up. That was his best for the day.
Hopefully the rain doesn't come.
Yeah, we'll take a break. We'll take a break and we'll come back and have a look at Caulfield this afternoon.
For the Quaddy app, download it today to never miss the Quaddy numbers from our SEN track experts. This is The Odds Couple with Gareth Hall, David Taggart and Josh Jenkins.
Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.
Enjoying your Saturday morning, great racing right across the country. It's a good meeting at Caulfield. No black type racing, but some nice horses still going around. Yeah, 10
pretty
race.
Confident there.
Are you confident, Tags? Yeah. All right, let's run through the quaddy legs. We're on a good Ford. We'll stay at that range today. The rail's out 8 metres the entire circuit. We'll have a look at the first leg of the quaddy. It's a good race coming up here, Nicholas Ashman. And geez, there's a lot of good judges telling me that here to shock will be mighty hard to beat.
Wins.
Comes out of a high-rating race, doesn't it? And the form out of that race has been superb. 460 into $3. Steady at 460 is Munamek for Nick Ryan. El Salado, who's going well, it must be said. $8 into 460. It's been well backed as well. And some specking for Smoke and Romans first up, 31 into 18.
Take it away, Tex.
Here to shock, one out.
You're that confident?
Yep.
All right, then. Here to shock, which is number... shock number three.
He's a last day Group 3 winner, defeating Sione. Yes. What did Sione do last Saturday?
She won nicely. Yeah. I like the confidence there. What about Aztec State? Another one for Lindsay Park in the second leg of the quaddy here, Nicholas Ashman. What price can I get for him?
Now $2.60. There's been some scratchings here, obviously, with the likes of Gates and Saban coming out, creating 19 cents in the dollar. But still, $4.20 to $2.60, a good push. A steel run has only had the one start for a win, 18 to $5.50 for Michael Kent or Mick Kent. Yototsu, 19 into $10 for Kieran Maher. And outside of that, looking down the page, here's some specking for Cat Noir for Jamie Edwards, coming shooting for a hat-trick, 19 into $12. And also Saxon Beauty, just a little bit of spec in there around the $23 mark. Mark Kavanagh and Craig Newitt teaming up.
Yeah, I have Aztec State on top, but numbers are 2, 3, 7, and 14. 2, 3, 7, and 14.
2, 3, 7, and 14. Second leg of the quaddy. Barclay Square, can he win again, Nick?
Oh, I think he can. The query is, it's going to be a slowly run race. So he's going to, if he doesn't lead, he's potentially dictated to for a long period of time. Now, the horse that's got the best turn of foot in the race from a sectionals point of view is Euphoric for Greg Urell, number 8. And it's no surprise to see him as the best back runner. The map players are saying slowly run race. Yep. Who's got the best turn of foot? Because that's what it's going to come down to. 750 into 360. Barclay Square is still your favourite at 230. And Shahaya for the Busselton and Young stable, solid enough around 440.
Clearly, you're reading my notes, Nico. Number one, Berkeley Square, backs up from last week's win. He goes up 1.5 kilos despite not going up in the ratings, staying on 97. Tells me this could be a little bit easier. But the problem with this race, there is no pace on, so it will be a tactical run race. Smartest jockey probably wins, 1.78.
1.78. Charlton Lane, I think he's mighty hard to beat today once again, Nicholas Ashman. He scratched from Sydney. What price can we get for him in the last race?
$2. Yeah, $2.60. He does look like he might just have a bid on these. Might is the key word there. And the other issue is how does the track play? 1,400-metre start point at Caulfield's a tricky one. They go straight into the bend. He doesn't have gate speed, so he's going to have to go back. What kind of a start is he going to be considering them at the top of the straight, I should say? Talbogar's been well supported, 18 to 650. Rheinberg for the Hayes camp, $10 and $8. He can go forward and make a decent run. And he's our Bonneval. A little gap between runs won't bother him. He doesn't mind having a bit of freshness in his legs. He'll be the one that's sort of carving up through the inside, 15 into $9.
Yeah, hard to go past Chorten Lane after his first up win, which has been franked by the second and third horse. Of course, we saw Greenfly win at Warrnambool. He ran third in the race. He's going to get back. I think what'll beat him is the big field. That does worry me a little bit, as you said, Nick. Or is he just going to be too good for him? I think he's going to be too good for him. 2-1 out.
2-1 out. So
$12.
$12. Geez, you're confident. 3-1 out. Hear the shock. 2-3-7-14, second leg. 1-7-8, third leg. Final leg, you dislike the 2-1 out.
I've had seven bets at Caulfield today.
What's your best outside? Bill.
Yeah. Best bet comes up for me at Caulfield. Race 3, number 1, Cadmus. He won't know himself. He's around about the $4 mark too, so he's a... Not bad. 3-1 is a best. That's okay. $4 best.
Well, I'm taking Nico. You on. My best bet. Yeah. Hoo-ha Ravana.
Mine will just win then.
All right, then. I'll have a lunch on that for you. Like, the son of War Champ will be beating your horse
welcome.
Today.
Yeah, no hope.
Nick, what's your best bet?
At Caulfield, race 6, number 2, Gwinzinger Bell. She comes back from taking on Vibrant Sun over a mile, comes back to 1,400 metres. I think that gives her the artillery to beat this smart horse, Anglin, from the Price Fence Stable. Because he's coming up from two 1,200-metre runs on run-on tracks at Pakenham, and now he maybe gets to a track that's going to be a little more conducive to front runners, and he's taking on a filly that's got good rolling tempo, and that's also always a recipe for disaster. So I'll take the $4 on offer currently at Sportsbet for race 6, number 2, Gwinzinger Bell.
You're spot on there, Nico. All the rage is Anglin, but he has to prove himself. Gwinzinger Bell's done that. Group 3 winner. She'll go forward. I'm with you with Gwinzinger Bell. I just hope she's not cooked and had a grand final earlier in the prep.
Correct.
Yeah. Michael Kent Jr. said Gwinzinger Bell will be mighty hard to beat despite settling up Anglin. He says Anglin's well above average, but it's a big step up in class
100%.
For him. 100%. All right then, lad. So have you got any best bets quickly outside of Caulfield, Nick?
I like Uncommon James up in Brisbane. I think he can win. I'll take him in like a same race multi with Antino to run in the top four.
I like Golden Mile in that race. Hey, Tags, you have a wonderful day.
Miss Hellfire, race 6 at Hawkesbury. Miss Hellfire has been backed. I've got $11. She's in about $6.50, $7 now.
You look after yourself tonight.
Will do.
All right, good on you. Yeah, good on you, Nick. Good on you, Tags.
Remember that lunch.
Yeah, so we'll off the bench. Hutchie and Pickers straight after this. I'll be on Winners on SEN Track. Have a wonderful day.